All right, if you'll join me today in Matthew 7. As I mentioned a little earlier, we are back in Matthew. We're, if you're guests with us, we are going through the Gospels in a chronological order, and we have been in the Sermon on the Mount and taken it verse by verse or section by section, depending on the context of the Scriptures, and working through the Sermon on the Mount. It's been a great study, and we've enjoyed it so much. And so I've been away for 3 weeks from it, coming back to it today at the beginning of chapter 7. And so the context here, what's happening, Jesus is sitting on this side of a mountain or a big hill, and a Sermon on the Mount. And in the beginning, he looks around, he sees all the people. And then, so what he does, he sits with his disciples and he begins to teach them. And so that is what's happening here. And I sure hope the disciples were taking, obviously they were taking notes because they wrote all this down. This is what a great, great sermon. The greatest ever, just shared by Jesus Christ. And it must have been amazing to be there. But we are blessed, though, to have his word. And let's pray as we read and study together. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we are thankful that you are a God who loves us so much. Lord, we have sent your Son, and your Son has taught us, Lord, through your word. And I just pray that as we read, Lord, all these letters in red, the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray that you would bring understanding, that you would bring conviction, or that you would teach us according to what is eternal and true, and that we may live accordingly, in a way that glorifies you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. It says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." And Jesus says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." So an interesting ending to that, and but it will, as we look through here, we see do not judge, and I imagine that whenever we talk about that, there's always this part of what does that mean, or I'm glad that he or she is here to hear that, or I can't wait to tell this to so-and-so, and Lord, I pray I haven't been a part of that. You know, it's just all these different types of thoughts, and this is one of the things that if we ever get into a confrontation of some sorts, especially spiritual discussions, maybe being led to calling somebody out or confronting somebody, that this is one of those things that'll be thrown up in your face. Sharing the gospel with somebody or sharing the love of God with somebody, even a non-believer knows enough about this to throw it back at you. And so there is a lot of truth to the, it is truth. So for me to say there's a lot of truth to it, that's an understatement. It is truth. And so we're going to be looking at this today. And how do we handle this? How do we live according to what Jesus is teaching here? And Stephanie and I have fun with this from time to time. I just got to share this. And we'll be sitting around talking about something, and we'll have a spiritual conversation or something, and usually the one who gets to do it first is the most fun. We'll be like, "Ooh, whoa, you're swinging your plank, you know, you're swinging your log there, buddy," and it's we have fun. But the reality is, what Jesus is talking about here isn't, he's not making fun. But so what does it say? First point, I mean, it's so hard not to miss what Jesus is saying here. He is saying it's simple, it's plain, it's clear. The first point, do not judge. Do not judge. That is what he's saying here. And the word means, when you break it down, it means essentially to condemn, to pass verdict on somebody. It's to withhold forgiveness, to withhold love, to say that they aren't that they aren't worthy. It's being critical. It's overlooking grace. It's It's not a good thing. And so Jesus is saying, do not judge. There is truth in that. And it is all truth that we are not in a place to be critical of people in a way that condemns them, that says that they are unworthy. We are never in a place to where we can speak destructive things into somebody's life, and to attack others and to bring conviction on them that is not of the Holy Spirit, nor that which lines up with the Word of God. First, it is contrary to the mission of Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it. We read this last week, but it's worthy of looking at all the time, but definitely now. John 3, not 16, but 17 and 18, where Jesus, John 16, shares the love of God. But in 17, it says, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged, and he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so the whole mission of God is based on love. The reality is we are all condemned. We all have been judged. That has already happened. It's not happening. It is, and it's not that Jesus came to bring that judgment. It's the fact that we are in judgment because of our sin and because of the love of God that he sent Jesus Christ to come and bring an end to that. And so when we begin to reinstate those types of things, we are working contrary to the mission of Jesus Christ. Through the love of God, Jesus Christ made atonement for us. He has, through faith, through his blood that washes us clean, through faith, that he has set us free from this condemnation, from this judgment that he is talking about here. Romans 5:1. It says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Amen. If we come to the place of faith that there's no more condemnation, that judgment, that price has been paid. This love that sent Jesus to the cross, it was the motivation of God. It was love that motivated him. It was the motivation for Jesus to go to the cross. It was the motivation for redeeming us. It's always love. And this type of judgment that is coming is lacking love. Or that he's not that's coming, is what he's telling us not to do is that which would lack love, and again, be contrary to what God is talking about here, what Christ is talking about here. This type of, what Jesus Christ, it gives a love, and a love that drives us to passionately seek to live for God every day in all that we do. Again, this type of judgment, this type of condemnation is that which Christ came to solve. Again, because of his love. And so we see love, and we also see that grace triumphs all these struggles that we have. And grace, essentially, to put it in just a simple definition, is undeserved favor. And here's something that I read this week as I was studying, and it's so true. Satan condemns, but the Holy Spirit convicts. So think about it. Condemnation, that which makes us feel guilty, that which makes us feel unworthy, that which makes us feel unloved, that is of evil. That is of Satan. He is the father of lies. He is the deceiver. He brings those things, and we aren't supposed to be about that. Now conviction can make you feel guilty, but conviction has a different purpose. Conviction drives us to a place of confession. We see in 1 John 1:9 that we share all the time is that confession is fellowship with God. That there is good in that to say, Lord, I have sinned before you. Lord, forgive me for this. Father, I'm struggling with this. Father, you know this temptation that is happening in my life. You know this temptation that I've given into. Lord, you know my struggle. Conviction leads us back to God. It leads us back to restoration, to fellowship, to love, and to peace. with him. And sometimes that conviction, it does hurt. But once we come to a place of repentance, oh, there's freedom. There's freedom. Condemnation is the opposite of that. Condemnation in this judgment, it is heavy. It is dark. It is depressing. It is lonely. And we are not called to bear that. While we're talking about this judgment of other people, we see it, us doing it to somebody, or somebody doing it to us, or somebody doing it to somebody else. And so we see that. But what about, it's a good point to talk about self-condemnation. Oh, that is one that where we're often that we will extend grace to other people, but not to ourselves. Anybody guilty of that? Yeah, I can be. Where we extend grace to other people, but in our own lives, in our own minds, in our own heart, in our own voice to ourselves, that sometimes we can beat ourselves up more than Christ has ever asked us to do so. Which he's never asked us to beat us up. But and when we get to that, you know, it's kind of like we're, you know, trying to pay the price. I got to suffer through this. I'm struggling through this. But trying to pay the price that Christ has already paid. He has set us free. And through faith, and when we get to those things, through faith we know that Christ has already forgiven us for our past sins, our present sins, and he'll forgive us for our future sins also. Not that we have a license to go out and sin and practice sin, but when we struggle and we move through this earth and we come to him each and every day, you know that we have been created for a daily worship of him. Not just a weekly, not just a monthly, just not a Easter and Christmas type of thing. It is a relationship to where he wants to walk with us each and every day. And when we do that, there is no way that, and we see that in Scripture, there's no way that we can be practicing sin. Oh, if you're somebody who likes to practice sin to where you're in sin, but you got a religious connection, however you have figured that out in your mind, you are in danger of not having a relationship with Christ. Really, you cannot practice sin. Scripture says it so clearly. You cannot practice sin and have a relationship with Christ. Now, am I saying that you can't fail, you can't struggle, you can't stumble? No, that's not what we're talking about. We all fail, we all struggle, we all stumble. That's why we have conviction. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings us back and said, hey, you're off track. Come back. Reminds us of his word, brings things into our lives, and brings us to a point of, oh God, please forgive me. Brings healing and restoration. But sometimes that self-condemnation, it gets us to a place where we're believing a lie rather than the truth. The truth that we have a God who loves us, a God who has he has just forgiven us. Sometimes as people, we can get to places where we feel unworthy. Oh, he's loved you. He died for you. And we feel that we are unforgivable. Oh, the only sin that he will not forgive is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And if you're worried about committing that, you haven't committed that. And that's an easy way to put that. Oh, we have a God who loves us so much, so much. So what do we do in the midst of that? I mean, knowing God's word, that is so important. I know I mention that almost every week. And if I missed a week, I apologize, because there's nothing more important. There's nothing more important. We knowing Christ, but then knowing his word. Oh, when we get into his word and he speaks through his word, and he reminds us of things. 2 Corinthians 5:21, when we get into this, he made him, talking about God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Reminders of God's word when we get into these places of self-condemnation, when the enemy is telling us this, when life is telling us this, when the TV and the culture is telling us this, we can come and back to God's word and we can be reminded of his love, of his grace, of what he's done for us, of the fact that he has, through the spirit of adoption, that he has made us like children. Again, all that God has done through Jesus Christ, it is because of love, it is because of grace, and to free us from judgment. We see the warning, though, going back to Matthew 7, it says, "For in the way you judge," we see this warning here, "you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you." So if we know that we have received love and we have received grace, then that which we should be giving to other people is that of love and grace also. But going to our next point, as we see in verses 3 through 5, is that we need to examine ourselves. Examine ourselves first, and there'll be, why is that a first? We'll talk about that in just a moment. But why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, you actor. You're acting like you got it all together. First, take the log out of your own eye. And so here we have this warning here of examining ourselves first. Oh, when we get to a people who don't examine ourselves according to the grace and the love of God and to the standard of His Word, then we're in danger of becoming arrogant, of becoming religious, of becoming and religious. And when I say that, we could say we're religious people. We are, but religious without relationship. Hopefully, that makes sense. We've talked about that a little before, but we know what I'm saying. It's just because that you would call yourself a Christian, just because you would show up on Sunday morning, just because grandma told you that you have some religious connection and that you're a Christian because of this, none of that matters. Just because you think you have done this or that, it's not about your works. It's not about your deeds. It's about 100% because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is it. That is it. Through the love and grace, there's no work you can do. There is nothing you can do to earn it. Nobody can proclaim it and bestow it upon you. It is only at the place where God has just broken your heart and opened up your mind and heart to the realization of a loving God, and you come and say, "Lord, here I am." You submit to the living God, and you live for Him each and every day as the Holy Spirit leads. It says that we're a new creation. And the Holy Spirit becomes a part of who we are, comes in us, and lives in us and through us. But we have to examine ourselves. Because the reality is that we aren't perfect yet. We will be. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, God sees us as perfect. Isn't that just awesome? That's just awesome. I'm so thankful for that. But we're still sinners, and we're still living in a world that is broken, and we do struggle. But when we examine ourselves, we come to that place of, "Lord, you know what I want to judge this person for, what I need to talk to this person about, or whatever this person is going through. There's a time in my life where I did this and where I've done this. Lord, I struggle with this too. Lord, forgive me. Lord, thank you for your love and for your grace." And we deal with that log or that plank. It is just a word picture. He's not talking about literal planks and logs in people's eyes. That's an emergency room visit. But here, examine yourself. And when we get to the place where we begin to remember and realize and experience the love and the grace that God has given us, then we might be in the right place to where we can begin to go talk to other people. Again, love, it motivates self-reflection. I mean, it does. I mean, if this has to make sense to you. I hope that if you love God, that there is a time that in your life, hopefully every day, where you just like, "Lord, help me with this. Lord, I'm struggling with this. Lord," because and we do this not because we have a checklist of "Hey, today I got to meditate and I got to make sure I'm right with God." No, but we love Him and we know when we mess something up. We know when we say the wrong thing. We know when we hurt feelings. We know when we lose our temper. We know when we sin. And there's something, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, that immediately grips, and we're just like, "Oh, man, I got to deal with this. Lord, help me. I spoke harshly. Lord, I lied. Lord, I did this. I did whatever it could be." The list can go on and on and on. But we got to examine ourselves. Because we love Him and we want to live for Him. I tell you, there is value in this journey of sanctification. That's what we're on, is we're being sanctified. We're being made more like Jesus Christ each and every day. I tell you, love Love is not afraid to call sin a sin. It's not. You know, we may be struggling with that sin, but we don't want to say it to God. Oh, he already knows. We don't want to tell other people. I mean, we're in the church. We're church members. We're perfect. Look at this. Look at what I'm wearing today. Yeah, I'm here every week. I even put a 5 in the plate. I'm not trying to be ugly, but we can put so much trust in things that are just not valuable. I tell you, love motivates us to worship God each and every day by getting into his word, and when we miss it, we long for it. It leads us to thanksgiving, to when we get into those moods where we're grumbling and complaining and judging and this where it reminds us, oh, remember when you did that. Remember how much I love you. Remember how much I love them. And it leads us back to joy. Oh, and it gets us to a place where we hold grace in a greater perspective of what we have received, what he has overlooked and forgiven us in our lives. The warning we read here, it says, you hypocrite. Ooh, that hurts, doesn't it? You ever act like you got it all together when you really don't? Yeah, you're here today. Not that I'm calling you a hypocrite, but we can be guilty of that. Again, this is someone who acts like he isn't or she isn't a sinner, and we're living like we have it all together. The word literally means an actor. Oh, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Yeah. No, hey, brother, come over here, man. I'm struggling. Hey, I'm struggling. I need prayer today. Hey, how can I pray for you? You know what? When we become transparent, first when we become transparent with the Lord, and we become transparent with one another, then we begin this thing called church family. Church family. Because the reality is none of us have it together. None of us have it together. But this judgment, do not judge others, but first examine yourself. And then next here, we see in verse 5, the second part of verse 5, it says, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eyes. We still need to help our brother. Don't we hear that scripture, and that scripture is just a stop sign for us. Oh, don't judge me, or I can't go talk to him. I can't go talk to her about this sin that is hurting them, that's hurting their family, hurting their marriage, hurting their life. I can't go and talk to them about this thing that I'm seeing, because they'll use that do not judge me, and it's my job not to judge other people. No, it doesn't say that we're still not go to talk to him. He says, hey, don't judge them. Don't bring condemnation. Don't withhold forgiveness. Don't withhold love. Don't withhold grace. Don't give them a verdict that leaves them in darkness forever. But to be like Christ and look at them with love, look at them with grace. Go and deal with my sin first. And it says, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck of your brother's eye. What is that? What has made it clearly? It is because we have dealt with our sin. We've come to the realization of the love and the grace of God, and we can go with a humble spirit, not an arrogant one. Not we go as one that has received forgiveness, not as one that is coming as a judge. The reality is there's still an issue. This scripture has been abused. It's been used as a tool. It is not a stop sign of that we're not supposed to help other people out. When there's love, when there is grace, we go and we get aligned with the Word of God. We go get aligned with the Holy Spirit. We go and hopefully we pray things like this, Lord, speak through me. It's not that I want to go and hurt this brother or sister. It's not that I don't like them. It's not that I hate them. Maybe you are mad at them. You deal with that, Lord. I'm mad at them because of this. But then we go and we're filled with his word. We're filled with his spirit. We're filled with his compassion, and we go in his love. And as we just said, love is not afraid to call sin, sin. Again, this love motivates the confrontation. Many of us don't like confrontation, and those of us who do, that's another sermon. I mean, confrontation isn't one of those things that we desire. But confrontation is we not only see it here, but we see it other places in Scripture, spoken of Christ, where sometimes we need family to come say, "Hey, you got to get back on track, man. You're doing this, you're doing that. You're having lunch with her, but you're married to her. You're doing this, and you come. I see you on church on Sunday, but I see you doing all this in the workplace or in the marketplace or this or that, friend." What are you doing in the name of Christ in the midst of this? Again, love gives us courage to go make this confrontation. Oh, what love is not. Let's talk about what love is not. Because oftentimes this is where we fail. When we go into this, sometimes we can be legalistic. This is when we don't examine ourselves first and we go in the flesh. We can be legalistic and we can beat them with the word of God. There's enmity or hostility. If there is hostility in your confrontation, you are in danger of being the judge Jesus is saying, do not do here. You are in the flesh. There is no outburst of anger. Friend, if we are bringing this type of confrontation and speaking to our brother and sister in Christ, there should be no outburst of anger. There should be no strife. There should be no dissension. There should not be factions. If you find yourself in a group within the church, if you're a guest here, if it's your home church or wherever, if you find yourself in a faction complaining about things in the church and it's just y'all sitting here stewing up in the politics of the church and other things in the church, you are in sin against the living God. You're in sin. And if you're a guest with us today, as far as I know, none of that's going on. But I find that. I didn't make all that up. That's in Galatians 5:20. The fruits of the flesh, look it up, please. Always look up the things that we talk about here. He says things, and there's other things that are in there that is talking about, and things such as these. That's in your flesh, and you've left grace, and you've left love, and you are sinning against God. But what do we find if you, in Galatians 5:20, if you're writing that down, read all the way down through 22 and following, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. There's love. There's love. It's hard to confront a brother or sister. It's hard to talk about the speck that's in their eye. And again, dealing with the plank or the log that is in our own eye, and the Holy Spirit has brought us to a place where we need to do that. It is because of love. Hey, I love you. I love God enough. I love you, so therefore I'm talking to you about this. Oh, there's the ultimate hope is joy. That's another fruit of the Spirit. Peace. Oh, it's always looking for peace, always looking for restoration. If your goal is something else than restoration, you got the wrong motivation. Patience. Oh. Sometimes when we have to go and talk to our brothers after we've prayed, after we've dealt with our own sin, after we've dealt with our own struggle, and we're right before God, we've confessed our sins and we're going and we're moving forward in this. It may feel a lot like conflict. Very rarely we'll be there and be like, oh, well, brother and sister, thank you for just lashing me with the word of God. No, it's not going to be that. They're going to be, who are you to judge me? Scripture says to judge not, and here you are judging me. Ever happened before? Don't raise your hands. But it's true. Have you ever said it before? Friend, even if they bring it to you wrong, there's always an opportunity to consider what is said to you and evaluate what truth is in it. Always evaluate what truth in it. And it's common that when you've gone in love and you've gone in the power of the Holy Spirit, you've dealt with your issues and you share this with a brother or a sister, there may be a time that they come back and they say, thank you. Please forgive me for the way I responded. Be ready for it. And when they come and they start saying that and their feelings are hurt, they're convicted and they're in the flesh because they're not ready for it. And your worst thing you can do is respond in the flesh. Just be quiet, knowing that they're struggling. Why? Because you've done it too. You've done it too. We've all done it. And they come back and say, you know, because if the Holy Spirit is in it, the Holy Spirit's going to work in their heart. And say, you know what? What he said, what she said, there's some truth to that. You shouldn't be having lunch with her. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be saying those things. When we go about it. But Scripture, again, is clear about the need to discuss issues with people. And there's a purpose always for restoration. But then next into our next point, it's a scripture that I still want to do more with than what we're going to do with it today. But it says, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So the next point is beware of dogs and hogs. Hey, it's in the Word of God. What is it? Beware. What are these people? First of all, friends, if there's people in your family, if there's people in your life and they are not saved, you cannot hold them to the standard of Scripture. You can't. Oftentimes, we've heard the word Bible thumpers, you know, beat them over with the Bible, over the head with the Bible, and stuff like that. We cannot hold people who do not have faith in Jesus Christ, we cannot hold them to the standard of Scripture. We can't. We can't cast that in the Word of God. We can live it. We can love them as it tells us to. As a matter of fact, the closest that they will ever come to seeing God is through your love. We find that in 1 John 5, where it talks, it might be 4, just read the whole 1 John, and it's in there, where the closest that people get to seeing God is through His love in us, the way we love. But the reality is that we cannot throw the things of Scripture in front of people who do not know Jesus Christ. We can't. We can still love them. We can still share the gospel with them. And even after that point of sharing the gospel, and what I struggle with is just in sharing and talking about this point, because there is some judgment that might be in this. When do I, when don't I, when do I? Friend, always, always yield to the Holy Spirit and pray through this, because it brings up another side of judgment, a whole different word. It's more discernment. We're still to judge. We're not to condemn people, but we still have to make a judgment of between what's right and wrong. There's discernment and there's condemnation, but there's a multiple meaning word that brings them that sounds the same. It's judgment, where sometimes we are not to judge people, to count them unworthy of that which God has for them, the love and the grace, forgiveness, and things like that. But then there is the discernment that we still have to make. But here we live, we love, we give grace. We can't hold them to the standard. We can't tell them that they're going to go, well, that would be true, but it isn't going to work very well for you. We can share the gospel, but as you pray and go through, there is a time that when even Jesus, when he sent out the 70 into the cities, he said, if they reject you, what did he tell them to do? Shake the dust off your feet. You can only do what you can do, and you got to love people. Does that mean you start judging them and condemning them and denying them love and grace? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But again, there will be, as we read here, there will be those who will trample the gospel and even attack you. Ah, go back to the things of the flesh. So how are you living with that? Don't judge me. Have you dealt with the plank in your own eye? As we wrap up, the big idea today, very simple, two sentences, two short sentences. Love always wins. This, and it says, when in doubt, err on the side of grace. I've had all week long where it says, God gave me this, always err on the side of grace. And then I changed it this morning to when in doubt. But I want to change it back. Always on the error on the side of grace. Always error on the side of grace. Because if you go back to where we were in verse 2, where it says, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Friend, if you go in love and you go in grace, you can't be wrong. You can't be wrong. Now, if you go in denial and disobedience, because you're not doing what the Holy Spirit told you to do, well, that's another sermon as well. Love always wins, always error on the side of grace. I want to pray for you. Pray for us. Pray for us. Friend, if you come to the place, and we've talked about the love of God, and today the Holy Spirit just opened up your eyes that he does love you, and he's calling you to a place of faith. Or maybe you have come to a place of faith, but you've walked away from that, and as Josh saying about the prodigal son, that he's calling you to come back, son or daughter. and to make a recommit to him. I encourage you to do that today. You can do that right where you are. But whatever it is, may we be a people who are examining ourselves every day, not just when we got to talk to somebody or handle a situation. May we always be seeking his love. May we always be loving him and worshiping him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And may we always be a people who err on grace. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this word. Lord, living in balance of it, Lord, it can be challenging, Lord. It really causes us, Lord, and shows us our need to draw close to you each and every day, each and every moment. And Lord, I do pray that all of us, Lord, would be a people who seek you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And Lord, that we would know your love and your grace. And Lord, as we go, Lord, that your love and your spirit would be so much a part of us, Father, that there would be something that people recognize about us, to where where we have the opportunity, Lord, to share the truth about your love and about Jesus Christ. And Father, we also pray, Lord, that if we come into this place, Lord, of having to ever share with a brother or sister, Lord, lead us to always deal with our own first. Thank you, Lord, that you have already dealt with it through the work of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us be a people of peace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.